This morning, I want to share with you a message that the Lord has put in my heart, and it's a message entitled, Get Out of the Boat. Get Out of the Boat. Now, you know, yesterday morning we had men's breakfast, and Ricky Joe, who's right up front here, he said, we need to get out of the box. And that was already confirmation for me. You know what it means to get out of the box, you know, get out of the ordinary. And that was confirmation already to me about getting out of the boat. And so as the Lord was stirring that in my heart, I just went with it, you know, of what God is doing right now in our lives. And why don't you say with me out loud right now, get out of the boat.
Get out of the boat.
Say it again.
Get out of the
boat. Now say it to the person next to you right now, either on one side or the other side. Tell them, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. And it's the words the Lord gave me for the church and for our congregation this morning. And I just want to tell you, this has been an amazing week in my life. And it really has for a lot of reasons, and I'm going to tell you why. It's been an amazing week because, and this in spite of my aching back. Now, y'all know I have kind of a chronic thing with my back from time to time. And a week and a half ago, my back went out on me. And it's taking, you know, tomorrow it'll be, gosh, I think 2 weeks since I did this. And it's taken me a week and a half to finally start getting a little bit of relief. And how many of y'all know that sore backs, aching backs, chronic backs sometimes can take time? And it's a little slow in getting better. And that's been the case with me. So I'm going to tell you, in spite of my aching back, I had an amazing week. Let me just tell you about it just briefly, real quick, okay? This last week on Monday, I'm just going to give you the highlights. On Monday, we kicked off our next Men of Honor and Ladies of Honor program over Terry Middle School. Now, Monday, we had a training session, all right? So they had staff people together, and we got together. Danny Taylor's all behind this. He's the principal over there. And we got working with the staff and getting ready. And then we asked, all right, when do you want us to start? And he said, well, let's start this Thursday. So that's three days, you know. Let's go ahead and start this Thursday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon. Okay, we'll start Thursday. So that was my Monday. We had a training session, then I went to the city council meeting, and then Tuesday comes, you know. Tuesday was really cool. Tuesday, I got to meet with all five head varsity football coaches, high school football coaches in our city. And y'all know we've been doing our banquet every year. Now this year is going to be the ninth year that we do our football banquet before the school season starts. And we've already got a date for it. And we already checked it with Rocky Pope at Mimosa Lane. He's going to let us use his facility again this year. So now we've got confirmation from all five high school football coaches, Coach Groves and Coach Robinson and Coach Neal and the new coach. We got a new coach over here at Mesquite High School and Coach Overton. They all said, okay, we'll be ready. So guess what? We're going to need help. We're going to need help because, you know, we're going to be serving them again, serving these football players. But they'll receive speakers that will come encourage their hearts a week before school starts. So mark the date, August 20th. August 20th, and a week before school starts, we're going to do that. So my Tuesday went by. Wednesday, up here at the church, getting things ready for Wednesday night. Thursday was a glorious time. Thursday, we got to go and minister over at my mother-in-law's rehab place over at Edgewood. Met there with all the folks and had communion, had hymns Thursday morning. And then Thursday afternoon came our time for the Men of Honor and Ladies of Honor over at Terry Middle School. You know how many kids we had for our first meeting? We had 45 boys, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Amen. Yeah, the first meeting we had at Barry, because now we have it at Barry and we have it at Terry. The first meeting that we had at Barry, we had 15 boys, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. But now the first meeting, and that this was the 3 days preparing these kids. In 3 days, on Thursday afternoon, 3:45, right after school, for 1 hour, we had 45 boys and 51 girls. That's almost 100 kids that came together. Now, I get real excited about that. I really do. Because you know this is all about building in our kids character, integrity, perseverance, all these things that we want to see in those kids in growing. The very first lesson we had was on chivalry for the boys, and how to be gentlemen, how to treat the ladies with respect, and that type of thing. So that was Thursday afternoon. I'm on cloud nine. I'm real excited. So then comes Friday. You know what happened Friday? Friday afternoon, we had the privilege of speaking to 110 athletes, bringing them the gospel, sharing with them the good news, giving them an invitation to receive Christ. 110 athletes. You know how many received Christ? 110. You know how, amen, it's okay to get excited. 110, they all responded, yes, to the simple gospel, the Roman road, the Romans 3:23, 6:23, Romans 5:8, Ephesians 2:8 through 10, Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. And then the simple invitation, and then we asked afterwards, how many of y'all would like to be discipled? How many of y'all would like to get a call and have somebody walk with you and help you in your decision? And we had almost 30 young men that said, I would like that. Now, I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, because you are doing awesome things. And I told the men yesterday morning in our men's breakfast, I told them, I want to tell you, I'm not looking for a move of God. The move of God is here. There is a movement of God, and it's all around us. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, you know, a lot of different times throughout my ministry, I'm waiting for that next move of God. I want to see that next move of God. And some of them refer to a certain place or a certain city or something, and where the move of God, the move of God is here. It's here. And what we need to do, amen, and what we need to do is we need to move with the move of God. We need to move with what He's doing right now. And can I tell you, He's moving all over Mesquite. He's moving all around us. I've already been talking to FCA leaders, FCA directors. I talked to the one at Barry. I talked to the one at Terry. I talked to the one at Agnew. And I asked them already, hey, we want to come over. We want to share. Can we come and do it? And come on. Come on. We're ready. We want to do that. And well, how many should we expect? Over at Barry, they say, well, you can expect about 105, 110 kids. At their Fellowship of Christian Athletes, 110, that's exciting to me. And so then the Lord, you know, I think about this movement called Revive Texas that's happening right now. And these are folks that have come down to the Metroplex, and we have quite a few that have come down here to Mesquite as well. They're from Mississippi, they're from Indiana, they're from Illinois, they're from Missouri, they're from all these different states, and they've come down here to work. And you know what they want to do? They want to share the gospel. They want to share the good news. So we have our host church that we're going at, and we want to encourage y'all to come any morning, Monday through Thursday, 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 to 10, 9. If you've got a little time, just come. Come and just check it out for a little bit. And they're meeting at Family Cathedral of Praise. That's the host church for the entire region of the Orange region. You know how many churches they have all over the Metroplex, from Mesquite all the way to Fort Worth, that are involved with this, with the same thing, going out with the gospel? 339 congregations. 339. And they're calling it Revive Texas. So now I think you can understand why I'm saying I'm not looking for a move of God. You know, where is that next move going to come from? No, it's here. The question shouldn't be, when is that next move going to come? The question should be, when are we going to get involved? When are we going to get right in the middle of it? Because it's all around us, and we simply need to move with Him. And in order to do that, what do we need to do? We need to get out of the boat. All right? So then here's the scripture verse that I wanted to use. Let me see here. There it is. Now, I went backwards here. Let me see. How far do I have to go backwards? Hey, I'm going back. Here we go. Okay. That's interesting. My remote is working in reverse. Okay. Well, let's try this out. Okay, get out of the boat. Here it is, Matthew 14, 22 to 32. You've got it up here. You've heard this story before, but I want you to follow along with me once again. It's 11 verses, all right? And here it is. Immediately He, now you notice capital H-E, so we're talking about Jesus. He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. Now, the context of this passage, Jesus just did a huge miracle with 5,000 men besides the women and children. You remember what that was, right? two fishes and the loaves and the fishes, the bread and the loaves, and it multiplied. Now, you got to think about that for a moment. If it fed 5,000 men besides women and children, 5,000 men besides women and children, that's a potential 15,000 people. All right? Now, you think about that. But here they are, and they just got through with that. He dismissed the crowds, and after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, how many of y'all know, studying God's Word, reading the Gospels, that this was a routine thing? This was something that he would regularly do. He would get away to a lonely place, to a place by himself, and pray. Now, if Jesus did that, how much more do we need to do it? Isn't that right? We need to find those private moments, those quiet times that we call them, and get alone with the Lord to pray. He dismissed them. He went up to a mountain. He prayed. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against him. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So here comes the Lord. He's walking on the sea, and he's walking to the disciples. Now, it says the fourth watch. All right, so I want you to understand that as well. There's a first watch, second watch, third watch, fourth watch, according to Jewish tradition. The first watch is from 6 to 9 in the evening. The second watch is from 9 to midnight. The third watch is from midnight till 3 in the morning. And the fourth watch is from 3 in the morning till 6 in the morning. 6 in the morning becomes the first hour of the day. So then if it was in the fourth, it says in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking. Then that has to tell you it was around 4:30 in the morning, okay? It was around that time. So here comes the Lord. He's walking. He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, and he said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, if you've got, you look for that in your Bible. When you find it, draw a circle around it, underline it, whatever you need to do, because those are words you need to remember from the Lord all the time. He encourages us with those words. Take heart means be encouraged. Take heart. It's me. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith. It's all, and he didn't say this in a mean way. He said it like, come on, Peter, can't you get it? Just something like that, okay? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, you have to picture this. These men, they had been with Jesus feeding the thousands, and then they go out in the boat. But you have to picture this, because our message this morning is get out of the boat, all right? But to see all these disciples and to imagine this in your heart about how around 4:30 in the morning, Jesus comes walking towards them in the boat, and the disciples, all fearful, they look and they see some type of a figure coming on walking on water, and they all begin to be filled with fear. And then Peter sees him, and he recognizes in the Lord, and he says, I want to do that. Can I do that? So he speaks out to the Lord, and he says, can I come to you, Lord? Command that I come. Can I come to you? And he's waiting for that word, and Jesus says, come. And at that moment, you got to picture what he's got to do. What does he have to do? He's got to take that first foot and that leg out of that boat. Can you picture that? And get it out on that water. How many of y'all know the first step is a lot of times the hardest step? And he takes that foot and that leg out of that boat and gets it out there. And then he starts taking the other foot and he gets it out there. And now remember, it said there was a boisterous wind. The boat was already in some waves and some wind already. And there he is, and he's walking to the Lord. He sees the Lord. He starts walking to the Lord. And at some point between the boat and where Jesus was, it finally dawns on him, right? It finally dawns on him, and maybe he just kind of paused for a moment, and he looks at Jesus, and then he looks at the boat, and he sees the boat way over there. And then he looks at Jesus, he says, Jesus over here. And then he sees those waves around him, and then his heart begins to be filled with what? With fear. And then Peter begins to sink, all right? So he looks back, he looks forward, he looks at the waves, he begins to sink, and then he cries out. Can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with crying out. Whenever you need God, don't be afraid to cry out. Just cry out, God, I need you. I need you. And he cries out, God, Lord Jesus, save me. And then just a picture that Jesus just comes to. Do you really believe this happened? I do. And that Jesus just comes to him and he grabs him by the hand. He grabs him by the arm. Now, this is the way I like to see it. He grabs him by the hand. He grabs him by the arm. And I believe that Jesus just kind of took him up in his arms and carried him right back to the boat. And then just put him right in the boat. I like to see it that way. It doesn't say that in Scripture. But I believe that Jesus just probably to calm him down. I don't know if anybody here has tried to save a man from drowning. It's not the easiest thing to do, especially when they're fighting. But just to pick him up and put him, carry him. Come on, son. And takes him back to the boat. And then when he gets to the boat, the waves calm. And all they can do is worship. All they can do is worship. I want us to look at two questions here this morning. And to answer two questions. One, what's in the boat? Two, what's out of the boat? Because we're talking about we need to get out of the boat. All right? You can take that however you want to. We need to get out of ourselves. So many times we think it's all about me and myself. We need to get out of ourselves. We need to get out of, and we need to get out there. All right? So here's number one. What's in the boat? Well, here we go. A comfort zone. Isn't that right? It's comfortable in the boat. You don't have to do anything. Everything's fine. You don't have to. Just right there. Here's the next one. It's a security. It's a safety. It's a no risk. I don't know how many of y'all had a security blanket when you were growing up or something like a teddy bear or something that you just had to have that blanket. It had to be with you and you couldn't do without it, whatever it might be, until someone takes it away. Or for a child, it could also be training wheels when they're learning how to ride a bike. And don't take my training wheels away. No, Daddy, I'm not ready. No. Or for a child, learning how to swim. And they have to take that step. And it takes no effort to stay in the boat. Isn't that right? No effort. How to stay safe in the world. There's an article that I found in regards to this. It just had that title, How to Stay Safe in the World. A lot of people are interested in that nowadays. Look what this article says. It says, number one, avoid autos. Avoid cars because autos are responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. Or don't stay home. Don't stay home because 17% of accidents occur at home. Or here's another one. Avoid walking on the streets and the sidewalks because 14% of accidents occur to pedestrians. Or here's another one. Avoid travel by air, rail, and water. 16% of accidents involve this type of transportation. Here's the fifth one. Look, avoid hospitals. The remaining 33% of all deaths occur in hospitals. Okay, so you can't drive a car, you can't stay at home, you can't walk on streets, don't travel there, or avoid hospitals, all right? So then, but only, now look at this, but only 0.001%, only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services. So logic says, the safest place is in the church. Now you can take that however you will, you know, but what I want to tell you, we're talking about get out of the boat. What I want to tell you, we are the church. The church is not a building. You remember the definition we looked at with the words of Jesus when he said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Amen. That's church. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Whenever I go to church, I want Jesus to be there. Isn't that right? It's a strange thing when people try to have church without Jesus. You cannot do it. Or some people will have church and they say, Jesus, just stay over there in the corner and we'll just have church the way we want. We don't want to do that. We want to put Jesus in the middle of our service, in the center of our service. So then we realize, hey, Walter, it's wherever you and I are. We find ourselves, we're having church. You know what? We're having church at Terry Middle School. We're having church at Barry Middle School. No, you can't have church there. Well, where two or more gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. And there we are, we're having church. And we're having church out in the marketplace. The Lord already put in my heart two dealerships to go talk to about getting ready to go talk to them about getting ready to put, now get this, you hang with me. You know how the Gideons put New Testaments in all the hotel rooms? Well, talk to the dealerships about putting New Testaments in all of their cars that they want to sell. Would that hurt anybody's feelings? Well, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. So then we're not, well, whose feelings is that going to hurt? Who am I going to offend? Does it offend you, Lord? Do I offend you in some way? Then I'll stop that. We ought to look at it that way. Am I offending you, Lord, in some way? Then I'll stop that. Is it possible to offend the Lord? Now you think about that. I don't want to offend you, Lord. But I want to do things that are pleasing to Him. What's outside of the boat? First question, what's inside the boat? Comfort zone, safety, security. Don't have to do anything to be in the boat. You know, it's just stay right there. Just keep coming to church. Stay right here. Don't do anything at risk. Just keep coming and, you know. The disciples didn't live that way. And neither can we. We're to go out with the gospel. Wherever we are. What's outside the boat? I want to tell you, the move of God is outside the boat. You got to get out there. There is a real movement of God that's taken place. And it's in the marketplace. And it's in the place of education. And it's in the place of the government. And it's the move of God among our police officers. The move of God among our firemen. The move of God among our city. And it certainly needs to be among our congregation, wherever we are. In the neighborhoods, in the streets, wherever we are. The move of God. Do you really believe an entire school can be saved? Yes. Do you really believe an entire dealership, car employees at a dealership can be saved? Yes. Peter said that none would perish and all would come to repentance. Do you really believe that an entire city can be transformed?
Yes.
By the hand of God? Yes. Let's keep going here. The move of God is outside the boat. Jesus' miracles are outside the boat. Peter got outside the boat, started walking on the water. His downfall, his sinking, it all happened when what? He took his eyes off the Lord. Now, isn't that one of the biggest lessons we have to learn in our Christian walk? Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. If you put your eyes on man, you're going to be in trouble all the time. Don't put your eyes on me. Put your eyes on Him. That's one of the biggest lessons we have to learn. And then, don't put your eyes on the circumstances. Don't put your eyes on the situation. You can get so consumed with worry, with fear, with anxiety, putting your eyes on the different circumstances and situations of life, but we need to continually learn to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, on the Lord. So then there, outside the boat, there's Jesus' miracles. It's an interesting thing. You read the book of Acts, and when you read the book of Acts, the miracles were not happening in the temples. The miracles were happening in the marketplace. The miracles were happening outside the temple. All right? Are you still with me? Nobody going to sleep yet. If you see somebody like this, I mean, look around from time to time. You see somebody like this. No, don't throw them in the water. Just nudge them. Just nudge them a little bit, okay? All right? I know it's tempting. Here's number. All right. Your opportunity to make a difference. How many of y'all truly want to make a difference? I do. Before I leave this world, and one day, by the way, each one of us will. But before I leave this world, I want to make a difference. And it starts at any time. At any time. We cannot say, well, that's beyond my time. I've already had. No, it's right now for all of us to make a difference. The Apostle Paul was continually outside the boat. You want to see a great example for this in God's Word? It was the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine? I mean, he's on his way to Damascus, and he's on his way to continually persecute the church, and he got knocked down and blinded, and the Lord appeared to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he was led where Ananias would be waiting for him on Straight Street to receive his eyesight. He was changed forever, and he couldn't stop sharing. Now, he didn't see a bright shining light every day. Okay? Some people say, well, if I can just see a bright shining light, If I can see a blinding light, if I can see something, and then they stay on those experiences. Can I tell you, don't worry about trying to stay with an experience. I've had experiences, but I don't dwell on those experiences. God has something for you every day, and He's moving every day. And what we have to learn is to be steadfast, unmovable. Like Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:58, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that His work is not in vain. It's not in vain, regardless. Going over there to Terry Middle School, I'm not looking for a blinding light that comes into the room. And where were the 45 boys? Let your blinding light come. No, we're just there to instruct those boys. We're going to learn about chivalry. We're going to learn about being respectful to women. And when a woman walks in the door, all you boys, stand up. Remember I told you about the first meeting we had over there at Barry. And they were just being taught that, and 10 minutes later, and I think you were there, Ricky Joe, 10 minutes later, in comes the receptionist from the front office. She's coming in the door, and lo and behold, all the boys stood up. All the boys stood up, and then she looks, and what are they doing? And the one that was teaching said, well, we just taught them a few minutes ago that when a lady walks in the room, we all stand up. And you know what that's telling us? These young men are ready. They're ready. They want to learn. They want to know. And then that receptionist, she goes off to get another lady teacher to bring her back because she was already weeping. She didn't know how else to react. She was weeping. She went to go grab another teacher and brought him. Here comes the two of them. They enter the door. And all the boys get up and go, well, two of you now. Because they learn. They're ready. We're going to be taking these young men on a camping trip. Well, not me, but you. You. Well, not those that came Thursday. Not those that came Thursday. Yeah. All right. So what's outside the boat? Miracles. What's outside the boat? The move of God. What's outside the boat? The Apostle Paul, it was a place where Apostle Paul was constantly moving. We need to be outside the boat. We need to be moving constantly. All right. Here's the next one. What keeps a person in the boat? Now, that's a good question to ask. What keeps a person in the boat? Because a lot of times, we just don't want to get out of the boat. We don't want to get out there. But I'm telling you, that's where we need to be. How many of y'all want to see a move of God? Okay, five of you. Praise God. I'll take five, you know. I'll take five. And what I want to tell you, I want to see a move of God. And the move is happening, so I just need to get out there in it. You know, this next week, I can hardly wait to see what God's going to do next. All right? That's the way we ought to live. Amen. What are you ready to do next, Lord? Because He's moving already. Do you get it? Yes. Instead of, all right, Lord, we're here again. Where's your move? Come on, Lord, move, move. We want to move. No, He's moving. We got to get out there. All right, so here's what keeps a person in the boat? Lies. What kind of lies? When the devil starts whispering in your ear, If you go over there, nothing's going to happen. If you try to do this, nothing's going to happen. How many of y'all heard that whisper before? He'll try to fill you with lies. He's the father of all lies. Or the next one, doubt. Now, that's what happened with Peter. It says that he was filled with doubt and he began to be fearful. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way? They begin to doubt. They begin to be fearful. Okay? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right? And this is what I want to show you this morning. What keeps a person in the boat? What we can't see. What we can't. Now I want you to grab a hold of that. And I want you to take your Bible and go with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. Okay, we're almost to the end of this, all right? So if you got beans cooking right now, they're all right. They're good. 2 Kings chapter 6. And beginning with verse 15. And to give you the context of this passage, this is about the prophet Elisha. You remember these two prophets? The first one was Elijah, and the one that picked up his mantle after him was Elisha. But this is about Elisha, and the context of this passage of what we can't see, 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17, is that the army of Syria was coming to attack Israel. They wanted to get Israel, okay? So they were trying to find ways to kill the king. So they had prepared an ambush to kill the king. But their whole problem was that there was a man of God named Elisha that could read them like a book. The man Elisha that the Holy Spirit of God, the God himself would reveal to Elisha the plan of the enemy. That when the enemy would try to come and set the ambushment, then the army of God would be ready because Elisha had already seen the word, and then the army was set. And this really angered that Syrian army and angered their king. Why are they figuring us out? Why do they know our next move? How come we can't get their king? How come we can't defeat him? And one of the spies come back and they say, he comes back and he says, they've got a guy over there. This man's a prophet. He knows their next step. He knows what's going to happen. So what does the Syrian king say? The enemy, the Syrian king, he said, let's get this guy. Let's kill him. Where is he right now? Well, he's in Dothan. Okay, take the Syrian army, go surround that city, and let's get them. All right, are you with me? Now let's look at verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, that's the servant of Elisha, when the servant of the man of God, now that was Gehazi, okay? He was the servant of Elisha. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, he's waking up, he's getting up, and he's walking around, and he went out. Behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. So you got to picture that. He looks and he sees the enemy. They're surrounded, the enemy. With horses and chariots all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He's telling Elisha. And Elisha tells him, don't be afraid. Now, didn't Jesus say, don't be afraid? Isn't that right? He says, take heart. It's me. Don't be afraid. So here's the prophet. And he says, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Can I tell you right now, as a church, don't be afraid. There are more with us than there are with them. Can you imagine how many times people are stopped in their tracks because of things that they see? This will never work. We'll never be able to do this. Here, let me just do a little Selah here, a little pause just for a moment. I want to tell you what our next step is going to be with these banquets. I already went over to talk to Coach Webb, Rodney Webb, who was at Horn. He's now at Rockwall. And I wanted to talk to him about, can we get over here? Can we share with your FCA? Can we share with your groups? We want to go talk with them. And also, we want to invite your team to come to the banquet that we're doing. The Lord's already put in my heart. Now, y'all help me out here. The Lord's already put in my heart. Now that we have 5 high school varsity football teams, all the teams coming and we're having the banquet, now go after Sunnyvale High School. Go after Rockwall High School. Rodney Webb, by relationship, I know him. He coached my son 2 years. My son played on his team. I got him now. Now I say that facetiously, okay, but then the other one, North Forney High School. I've got an appointment this coming Tuesday. With lo and behold, Coach Jackson has come back from Grapevine High School. He's come back over here to Forney, North Forney. So now the Lord has put in my heart 8 high school football teams. Well, how are we going to feed that many? Well, the Lord's already put in my heart, let's get ready to go to the convention. Let's get ready to go to the convention center. Not the rodeo arena, but the convention center. Let's get ready to go and host all 8 football teams. Somebody can say, are you crazy, Pastor Dan? Are you crazy? Hey, don't wake me up out of my dream. If you want to call me crazy, that's fine. But I'm telling you, one day, I'm praying that we can go to the AT&T Stadium. You know how they set that up for banquets sometimes? and invite the high school varsity football teams from around the whole Metroplex to come and to be encouraged. Now, don't forget, when they come, they're going to get a steak dinner. But not only a steak dinner, they're going to hear godly men speak into their lives. And the Lord is showing me that. But what do you see? What do you see? Elisha tells his servant, don't be afraid. There's more with us than there are with them. Don't be afraid. That servant, he could respond, what are you looking at? What are you looking at that you tell me there's more with us than there are with them? Keep reading. It says, and then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes. Please open his eyes so that he may see. He's talking about his servant. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And they were all around that Syrian army. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike the people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way. Now remember, they're looking for Elisha, right? And so he says, Elisha, he says, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. And he's the one they're seeking. And so then he prays for their eyes to be restored. Their eyes are restored, and they see Elisha, but they see them in Samaria. And there's the Israeli king. And the Israeli king looks to the prophet, and he says, prophet, should we go ahead and kill him right now? We've got him. Let's kill him. And prophet says, Elisha says, no, don't kill them. Did you capture them? Are you the one that fought them and captured them? Don't kill them. Feed them. Feed them bread. Feed them water. Give them something. Give them water to drink. Give them food to eat. That's exactly what they did. And you know what? That army left and never bothered them again. How huge is that? Now stay with me, because I want to see a move of God. Do you want to see a move of God? And we've got to get out of the boat. And God is moving. The Lord is moving all around us. And we have to understand. Can you imagine how many things we see that can talk us out of doing what God wants us to do? It's not necessarily what we see, but it's what we don't see, if you understand what I'm saying. And what we don't see, let the Lord reveal it to you, because there's a lot more with us than there are with them. So get ready. How many of y'all want to see a move of God? See, I keep at, he's moving all around us. We got to step out of the boat, and we got to get right out there in the middle of it. Hebrews chapter 11, you don't have to look for this, but just jot down the verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, it's called the Hall of Fame for these great faith giants, you know. It's Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about all these Samson and Moses and Abraham and Noah and all of these great giants of the faith. And then you find this passage here where it says, and they endured as seeing the invisible. You get it? And they endured as seeing the invisible. Sometimes I think, you know, I still, one day I'd love for the Lord just to show me an angel, just one day. I'd love to see an angel one day. It'd probably freak me out. You know, but these angels are huge. They're mighty. And there is a real spirit realm around us. I believe there are angels all over Mesquite. We have to understand, there's demonic activity, there's angelic activity, there's a real spirit realm. How many of y'all understand there's drug activity in Mesquite? Domestic violence in Mesquite. Think about all this, and it's a spiritual warfare. But if we just see in the physical and not in the spiritual, then we're going to miss it, because there are more with us than there are with them. And God is ready, and he's moving. He's moving. So then where do I start? Start with the first step. Find a need, meet that need, and depend on the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord give you creativity. Now, I'm getting ready to stop, okay? In just a couple of weeks, they're getting ready for the STAR test again. I think they're getting ready for the STAR test again. And in that, y'all remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago when they had the STAR test? That I came up here on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock and found 35 high school students out here behind our church in our basketball court just hanging around, you know. And then understanding again, the buses come, they let them out at 8:30. I learned this last spring when we had early voting. And we would see all these kids coming around and going around the lake. So they go around City Lake, they go to Jack in the Box, they go to Whataburger, they just go. You know, you wish they'd go to school and be in school, but they just go. And the Lord started stirring in my heart even last year at that early voting. The Lord started stirring in my heart. You know what? You need to do something there at the church that they can do. And so you remember 3 weeks ago, and we got to get out of the boat, got to get out of the box, got to be creative. I saw these 35 kids over there, so I just got out of my truck out here, walked over there, and I think they thought I was going to run them off. But I just asked them, are any of you hungry? And, boy, they all just started walking to me. Yeah, we're. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to the store right now and go get some breakfast. And we're going to make a big breakfast. You can say, I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what I was doing. Who am I? I think I'm going to feed 35 kids. We fed 60, by the way, that morning. But as soon as I got in my car, I just said it. Sometimes you think you can say things and maybe get in trouble. You know, Peter said, Lord, can I come out to you? Jesus says, come. He just said it. Can I come out to you? And he gets out and starts walking. So I just said it. Then I got in my car and I started calling people. I call Rita. I call Tom. I call Ricky Joe. I call and trying to find, can you come help me make breakfast? I'm going to make breakfast for a whole bunch of boys. So I went to Kroger's because I knew they had 4 hours. They didn't have to be in class till 12:30. So at 8:30 in the morning, the bus drops them off. They have 4 hours. So I finally got a hold of Ricky Joe. Ricky Joe said, I'll be up there. He helped heat the tortillas. And then I found one of our ladies at the store, and I asked her, can you come? And I just asked, do you have some time right now? You know? And she said, yes, I do. I didn't know if she could cook or not. Next thing I knew, she's a good cook. And she came, and she cooked the eggs. She cooked the potatoes. He heated the tortillas. Somebody said, well, what'd you do, Pastor? Well, I helped. But then we went out and we told, hey guys, it's ready. Come on. And we served them. We blessed them. Find a need and meet that need. We blessed them. And some of them were just looking at you like they're trying to figure you out. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? They didn't ask that, but just trying to figure you out. And by the time it was all said and done, that we had fed 60. Isn't that right, Ricky Joe? We had fed 60 with $52. Less than a dollar a kid. With $52. And then they went to school. And then that afternoon at 2:30, about 2:45, I just got back to my office from a meeting I had and went to my office. Then I heard the doorbell. There were 7 high schoolers out there. Can we come in? Yeah, come on in. You know, I'm going to tell you, we don't need to be afraid. There are more with us than there are with them. Yeah, come on in. Come on in. Do you have anything more to eat? I said, no, I don't. But I tell you what, the next time we do this, we're going to do it right. Because we weren't ready then. So I already told these guys and the others as well, I told them, get ready, because next time we're going to make pancakes, we're going to make sausage, we're going to get... So guess what? I need some help. I'm letting you know already, it's going to happen week after next. And we're going to get ready to bless some more kids. Amen? Just to bless them. And as you do this, I had one young man that I had with me, and he was, you know, I've been away from God for a long time. I've been away from the Lord, and I need to get back with God. I need to get things right with God again. That's what one of the high schoolers said. We got to get out of the box. So here's my challenge to you this morning. Get ready. God is moving. Get out of the boat. Start walking on the water. Know that there are more with us than there are with them. And we as a church, we can't be, where's this move of God? I want to see this move of God. He's moving. We got to move with him. Amen? And if we don't, we're going to miss it. And I don't know about you. Where do you want to be in the move of God? You know where I want to be? I want to be right in the middle of it. Not on the fringes, not on the outskirts, but right in the middle of it for the Lord to have his way, all right, to see souls come into the kingdom. How many of y'all receive that? Because I'm just talking about schools, you know. And I'm glad these folks are here right now. I'm glad they're here. But, and by the way, they're on our side. Amen? They're on our side. So we just have to be ready, because this next week, I'm going after the marketplace, and I'm going after the dealerships, and I'm going after the different, and wherever there's some, and let's do it. Let's just do it in the name of Jesus.